Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship the Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Wayne for the bomb. Lob City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around. Tears from their eyes. Knees on the ground. Money in the sky. Take a look around. Ain't shit nice. Praying for my life. Hope I make it through the night. I take a look around.
Hanley drives it to center field. That ball's deep. Back goes Schaefer. At the wall.
Take a look
around. My goodness. An absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southern Most Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's another beautiful Thursday night, and you are now live with the Zen Man, and this is the Southern Most Sports Wrap on Ship to Shore Radio. And it seems like every week we have a brand new set of awesome things going on. To think that there's only baseball going on right now, but there's so much going on, and it isn't even baseball. It's actually going to be basketball talk for the last few, couple of weeks, and you know, the next couple weeks ahead, especially right now. Honestly, today has been actually a crazy day. So many signings going on. It's actually a pretty big free agency, even though the age of the free agents are pretty high, but still a lot of quality. Obviously, you know, Steve Nash is a big free agent. Dwight Howard, but where are these guys going? I have it all right here. Dwight Howard has not picked a home yet, obviously, but he's next, and it's going to be really, really good to figure out where that happens. But let's just kick it off with the top news. Like I said, there are a lot of NBA trades going on. I will get after that after the top news. Just in baseball, the All-Star game and the MLB is coming up this week. Well, starting Monday. Monday and Tuesday is where everything happens. Monday is the home run derby. And on Tuesday is the All-Star game. Now, in the All-Star game for baseball, it is actually important for the sport. The winner of that, it's the AL versus the NL, whoever wins actually gets home field advantage in the World Series. So it is important. Home run derby, not as important, but it is 10 times more fun. And I'll get to the roster lineups for both and towards the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. I said this last week, but in case you missed it, Jerry Sandusky sentenced to over 400 years in prison after 45 of 48 counts were found guilty against him. So he will definitely be seeing a lot of prison time. I don't care if he's 5 years old or 70 like he is. He's not going to see the outside of a prison cell. So I don't think anybody's too unhappy about that. Roger Clemens, I think I mentioned this last week as well, found not guilty on that long-running perjury trial. I don't know if he was honestly innocent or not, but lying in court is not a good thing. But he is found not guilty, so at least he'll be able to live outside of a jail cell. Whether he will be in the Hall of Fame now, I don't know. Even though he was, you know, obviously found innocence, this doesn't really mean that he's not going to, you know, get through the Hall of Fame ballots. Obviously, still one of the best pitchers of all time, but it is still frowned upon if you were, you know, in a trial, regardless of whether you're, you know, found innocent or not. So we'll see if that has a big effect on him come Hall of Fame time. Speaking of possible Hall of Fame, David Ortiz hits his home run number 400 yesterday, and a lot of talk about his possible Hall of Fame. And the talks haven't really been great. They say that he still might not be in the Hall of Fame. He's had a Hall of Fame type career. You think about the playoff run that he had. Without him, they may have won half the playoff game they did. I lose them four. What he did that year was amazing. So many walk-off hits on home runs to lead into the World Series. But he still have a lot. He has a lot of juice left in the tank. So we'll see if he can. I mean, obviously the next step is 500. Maybe he gets it. His best chance is being a DH. So we'll see. But still, either way, great milestone for him, and he still looks down as one of the best Red Sox ever. So obviously a great career so far by him, but he's still playing good. He's still playing good. Speaking of the baseball, actually, the Marlins acquired Carlos Lee, old Astros player. He's, well, I believe he's 36 years old, a.k.a. El Caballo from the Astros, for two minor leaguers. The Marlins trying to get a first baseman. I believe El Caballo has been a long time third base, and he's been playing an outfield all year. But I think the Marlins need him for first base. Gabby Sanchez has not been playing well this year. Even though he was the only All-Star last year for the Marlins, he's not been playing good this year. And El Caballo, Carlos Lee plays his debut today, actually, and he went 2-4 and a 4-0 win for the Marlins. So good start for him. I'm actually pretty excited to have him on the team. Serena Williams will be in the Wimbledon Finals after her win today, so good for her. And Anderson Silva, obviously one of the best, possibly the best MMA wrestler of all time. I think he might be. I guess he might be getting up there in age, but he still hasn't lost. He's facing Chael Sonnen 2 Saturday night at midnight. And if you remember, I guess it was Chael Sonnen 2 who gave him the fight of his life. It's not for a crazy tap out that Anderson Silva gave him. Anderson Silva might have lost that one, but they will have a rematch for the middleweight championship this Saturday night. So look forward around midnight to see what happens right there. And just moving on to my next subject. Man, I'm always slacking on my buttons. Here we go. And, yeah, I mean, everything, you know, every week my lineup changes. As you know, I used to have top news, then hockey. But now I'm going to have basketball, I guess, right at the top news. And, even though the basketball season is now officially over, it's still, I mean, the hot topic around sports, especially today. I mean, it took me literally an hour to write down everything that was going on. But the free agents are crazy right now. Teams are trying to stack up, and I know it's because of the Heat, what the Heat did 2 years ago, getting the big three and winning the NBA championship now. I think teams are getting into panic mode. I mean, it is what it is. I don't blame anybody. But just to break it down for you guys, starting off, Nets, the first big move so far was Joe Johnson. Nets acquiring Joe Johnson from the Atlanta Hawks. Joe Johnson, obviously, he had a max deal with the Hawks. He is definitely one of the best shooting guards in the league. A fierce guy. I mean, he can make any big shot he wants. And he's joining the Nets. I mean, I know the Nets, that was really out of left field. Everybody was talking about everybody else joining the Nets. You know, Dwight Howard, obviously, a big name. But Joe Johnson came out of nowhere. I don't know how this happened, but now the Nets have somebody to attract Dwight Howard. So we'll see, you know, how that plays out. But it did attract Deron Williams, who did re-sign with them as well. Deron Williams re-signs for an estimated 5 years, $98 billion. Joe Johnson signing to Jason Kidd actually signing to the Knicks today. 3 years, $9 million. I don't know how big of a deal that is. Knicks fans happy about it. It does actually change some things with Jeremy Lin. I'll get to that in a second. But Kidd, he's 38, I believe. So 3 years, he's playing, though he's 41. I mean, obviously, he's playing at a high level. So 3 years, he should be fine. Is this the Knicks what they wanted? Now they definitely have a good point guard. I don't think he'll get injured. I mean, he's been healthy. Obviously, anybody could get injured, but I don't know if this is really the answer. They still have you know, big names on that team. But I think he's fine to start for a great team, but I think they still need a couple more pieces, maybe a big guy down low to make that team good, to help Stoudemire and Anthony out. But we'll see what the Knicks can do. Jameer Nelson re-signing with the Magic. Obviously, there's definitely talks about Dwight Howard, but Jameer Nelson looks like he will be staying. 3-year contract, the total not released yet. Steve Nash, obviously the big news last night, joining the Lakers for 2 draft picks, a trade and sign deal for him, 3 years, $27 million. And obviously last night, or actually all today on SportsCenter and everything else, a lot of talks about, is it a good thing? Of course it's a great thing. They need a point guard, and I think that's a better signing than Dwight Howard. But we do have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, what's going on, Ben? Yeah, man, I wanted to have you on the show. There's so much basketball going on today, man. It's not the sports out of season for the moment, but just some crazy stuff going on. Just top of your head, I mean, what's the biggest signing you've seen so far in the past 48 hours?
Well, I mean, obviously right now everyone is talking about the Steve Nash sign and trade deal. That's obviously pretty important. But let's see. Who did Charlotte or Houston? Who has Houston signed? They have signed.
Well,
I know they put an offer on a streak.
They're going to get Jeremy Lin because they had a big offer for him. And the Knicks
that's going to be a big deal for them because, you know, they have a big Asian following from Yao Ming's days. So I think that would be a good marketing close for them.
I didn't know about that. But, yeah, because Jeremy Lin, the Knicks had a chance to match that offer. But the Knicks Jason Kidd today. So that obviously feels a difficult win to go to the Rockets.
I think that's a better fit for the Knicks. Having Jason Kidd there, Lin was kind of a guy who would take it on his own one-on-one and kind of a ball stopper at points. When you have Carmelo there, who obviously needs the ball in his hands, and you got to get Stoudemire involved as well.
Well, the reported deal for Jeremy Lin was kind of big, close to $9-10 million a year. Is it worth it? I know he's only played about 15-20 games, but do you think, I mean, is that too much to offer for him? Do you think he's actually that? I think, you know, being from Harvard and what he's done so far, a little bit of time, I think it spells out that he is a good point guard. Do you think they're offering too much? Or?
You know, I think if – what is the deal? Do you know what it's been offered? Was it 4 years, 40?
I was like 3 years, 30-something million. I think it was roughly around $10 million a year.
He showed, a lot of flashes last year, but it's a pretty small sample size. So, you know, he looked decent to me. I think if he really does pan out, and I think you need to get some other good pieces around him, it could be a steal of a signing, but it is a pretty big risk. I mean, he's only played maybe 30 games in the NBA.
Something like that. But where the Rockets are at this point, with so many teams joining forces and making these big trades, I think at this point, if you're a team like the Rockets, maybe you got to take a risk and try to do something.
Absolutely.
Just talk about the Nets really quick. Gerald Wallace, I know he's playing to talk about. He resigns 4 years, $40 million.
That's what I mentioned earlier.
That team's...
They've been spending a lot of money, and they're still trying to acquire Dwight, I've heard.
I
don't know what the possibility of that is, but they would have to probably send over Chris Humphries, Marshawn Brooks, a lot of draft picks. Brook Lopez.
Yeah, that was actually the deal. It would have been Marshawn Brooks, Chris Humphries, Brook Lopez, and three first-round picks.
And probably a couple of expiring contracts as well that could be wiped off Orlando's books. I mean, if you're Orlando, I would probably jump on that because he'll just finish out the year and you'll get nothing for him. If you could get a bunch of first-round picks and a couple young commodities, Brook Lopez could turn into a top-five center. He already is offensively.
Yeah, Chris Humphries is not bad either.
Yeah, Humphries is a rebounding machine.
He's pretty good.
He is.
And with
I want to pay him all the money.
I don't know what he's getting paid, but
I mean, I don't know if you're on a good team, how he would play.
I mean, the Nets, he was one of the only options.
Right. And, I mean, that's where he wants to go. With the Nets, they obviously have a lot of money to spend. So I honestly think that he's going there. I think the Lakers were the only other possibility, but they already have the second-best center in the league with Andrew Bynum, and they just got their big move with Steve Nash. So yeah. What are your thoughts really quickly about the Lakers? And do you think – I mean, I think Steve Nash obviously was the best move they could have made. They need a point guard. They have the other pieces. Are they legitimate top team in the West? I mean, I know that the Thunder are good too, but the Lakers,
I would say that they're right there. With the addition of Nash, you have a guy, you know, that can take the ball out of Kobe's hands at the end of games and can facilitate the offense and kind of give Kobe a break. And he's a knockdown shooter, you know, he can stretch the floor. But I think defensively it might hurt him a little bit. He's kind of not able to guard anyone with quickness at this point.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think he is more offensively than defensively, but I don't know.
That's what they got him. That's what they brought him in for, though. You know, Mike Brown is known for his defense, so a point guard that can facilitate the offense is all you really want from him. Because I know they did not re-sign with Ramon Sessions.
Okay. I didn't know about that. I obviously had to get rid of somebody. But my last question for you was Ray Allen. I'm not going to lie, when I first heard about it, I mean, we're the champions. I don't really want a Celtics player in a Heat jersey. Not that I hate anybody specifically. I mean, Ray Allen just obviously has killed us throughout the years. Mm-hmm. But now I see what the Nets are doing in the Lakers. At this point, he's going to join the Heat. He has nobody else to look at. I think this is a perfect situation. That would be awesome for us, because you think about the 3-point shooters we had. They've had their opportunities this year. They've just been a little inconsistent. Ray Allen doesn't even have a consistent anywhere near his name. I mean, how deadly is he for the Heat?
They don't know if Mike Miller is coming back. He's still going to decide on that. So if he were to leave, Ray Allen would be his replacement there. Ray Allen would definitely probably fit in as a sixth man and then finish the end of games for them, I'd assume, with Wade at point guard, LeBron, Bosh, and probably Haslam or Battier.
True. Yeah, man, I think that would be the – I don't want to sound like a little scared. I mean, honestly, I think the Heat are still the best team. I mean, even if a team joins forces with another big three, which I think you might see in the Nets, they still got to learn how to play together. We learned that already, but
I think they're a really good addition for the Heat. And you can get him for a pretty good price, you know. They can only pay him 3 years, $9 million, I believe. So that's pretty good for a player of his caliber.
Yeah, I agree, man. All right, man. Yeah, I wanted to hear somebody else's opinion on it. I don't always agree with whatever SportsCenter says. I've been listening to that all day at work, so I wanted to get somebody else's opinion on it.
Well, and, I appreciate you having me on.
I'll
get Kyle on next week or so.
Hey, man, anytime you can get him on, it's great. I'll keep track with him. I don't know what's going on with him, so I got to get him on soon.
All righty, Tyler. Thank you very much, man. You're the best.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Good night. Bye.
Well, just to recap, woman on the NBA, like I said, the Nets did acquire Joe Johnson, one of the less talked about, but still a very, very big shooting guard in the Eastern Conference, the Atlantic Hawks. Obviously, he had a max contract with them. So the Nets beefing up. Now also signing Deron Williams. That's one of the best, you know, 1-2 punches in the Eastern Conference now. Now you see that big man. But, you know, even if they don't get that big man, like I said, I mean, I think they're giving up a lot for the Orlando Magic. Brooke Lopez, if he's healthy, and Chris Humphreys. I'm not even really talking about it. If they didn't get Dwight Howard and they kept those two, they're still, you know, a pretty good team. Not to mention Jared Wallace, I think one of the best shooting small forwards in the league. Really not talking about either, but he's actually really good. He'll bust out 20 rebounds any night, you know. He's one of those guys. So we'll see what the Nets do. The Brooklyn Nets, that is. They are now moving to Brooklyn, not New Jersey. Jay-Z is doing a lot of things with that team. And like I said, Jason Kidd going to the Knicks, 3 years, $9 million. Jameer Nelson staying with the Magic. He's going to sign that 3-year deal. And Kevin Garnett going to re-sign with the Celtics. Obviously, talking about him retiring. I knew that he wouldn't. I didn't know where he'd go. It's actually pretty big. I mean, he was getting paid more last year, but when that contract runs out and you're at his age,
I'm surprised he's getting this deal. 3 years, $34 million. So he's still getting double digits per year. And I think this is definitely the end of the era. I kind of thought that last year for the Celtics, but they obviously made a run, almost getting to the NBA Finals. But I don't know if – I mean, I know he's just a fighter. He doesn't want to stop playing. Obviously, he had a great game and a great a season this year. So we'll see. I mean, honestly, I don't think the Celtics are going to be any good for a few years. But they're still going to be a force to reckon with in the East. Don't count them out. But if Ray Allen does move, we'll see what Paul Pierce does. It looks like Rondo and Garnett might be kind of hanging out there by themselves. Like I said, Jared Wallace does sign with the Nets, 4 years, $40 million. Michael Beasley, former number two pick to the Heat. He was on the Timberwolves for a little bit when the big three kind of formed. Beasley got lost in the action, and he ended up joining the T-Wolves. And now he looks like he will be joining the Phoenix Suns, 3 years, $18 million. And like I said, Ray Allen, I think he will join the Heat. He has checked out the Clippers and said no to them. He doesn't reportedly have anybody else to meet with other than the Heat. And I don't see any other option. I mean, you know, honestly, if you're a player and you want to go play and win a ring, what better than South Beach and the Miami Heat? I think he'd be a great asset to this team. The Heat are going to do everything they can to get him. Not like, like Ben said, Mike Miller might retire. I've heard that from another person as well. Mike Miller he plays hurt. I think he's got a little injury. He still can play. It's hard not to look at that game five to close out the championship, and he just went off 7 for 8 from 3-point line. Maybe that was his last little push. Either way, you know, we'll be getting one of those two back. I mean, we might get both back. We'll see what happens, but Ray Allen, I think, will be a great asset to the Heat. Very, very consistent shooter. Like I said, he's the best three-point shooter of all time if you go to how many you've made, obviously. So we'll see what the Heat do. And I did say Dwight Howard's still obviously the biggest name out there. He's been the biggest name out there for 3 years. Nothing's happened. He's still wearing my Magic uniform. The deal right now on the table, Marshawn Brooks, Chris Humphries, Brooke Lopez, and 3 first-round picks from the Nets. And the Nets would get Dwight Howard if the Magic agree. Now, obviously, after this year, Dwight Howard is unrestricted free agent, and he can join any team he wants. So no trade for the Magic. So the Magic need to jump on this to get it's a big deal to get these guys in the picks. So I think they're going to take it. Personally, it's not the way they sound on SportsCenter just yet, but you just see what the Nets are doing. They're getting everybody they want. So this is the final piece of their puzzle. They got to get it. And Eric Gordon and the Phoenix Suns have agreed to terms on a maximum salary contract with about $58 million over 4 years. Eric Gordon played for the Hornets. Great player. And looks like the Phoenix Suns are getting some players. So we'll see how they end up being. Maybe the Nash would have stayed. They might have actually had a good team. The Suns definitely making some moves, so that's good for them. And like I said, Jeremy Lin most likely signed with the Rockets. Basically, the Rockets put up a big contract for him. The Knicks were supposed to match it, but now, like I said, the Knicks getting Jason Kidd, so they're not going to match it. And so Jeremy Lin will be a Rocket this year. So, you know, risk or not, I mean, my personal thing was the same thing. I know I'm switching sports here with Tim Tebow, but you just look at the guy's mindset. You know, if he did something great already, he's probably going to keep doing it because, you know what, he's got the right mindset, got the right confidence. Obviously, you know, look at Jeremy Lin from Harvard and what he did. This is such a small time frame. I know it was only about 10, 15 games. But I still 10, 15 games where he was balling. So it's not, I know he knows that he can still do it. He's a smart individual. He's going to figure out how to make it. So I know it seems like a lot of money, but at this point, I mean, he's probably going to work out how to be a great player. So we'll see what he does with the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan for your Southern Most Sports Rep stat of the week. Now, I'll be getting into this later with the Home Run Derby, but since it's coming up and I'm a big fan of it, my stat of the week has to do with the Home Run Derby. Now, the longest home run hit by any player this year in the Home Run Derby is by Carlos Beltran. 464-feet home run, excuse me, 464-foot home run this year, the longest so far by one of the contestants. Number two is Giancarlo Stanton with 462 feet. And those are off live pitching. I can't wait to see them off. Obviously, they're easy pitching coming up this Monday. And we'll see what happens with that simple stat. I didn't want to get too much into it because I want to save the rosters for a little bit later. But before I get into my baseball, I want to get into my top three plays of the week. Now, if you guys are a little confused how I get my top three plays, it is on YouTube. And, you know, it's just, I mean, I get the radio call. It's, I like it, honestly. It's a personal favorite of mine. But the thing is that baseball is hard to get. So, as you know, hockey is over. Basketball is over. So, really only one sport I can get the top plays from. But I spice it up a little bit. How about the top three plays of the playoffs? I have that for you guys today. So without further ado, let's kick it off. Here is play number three of the playoffs this year. It is
Turner. Oh, he got hit. He got bumped on the way up.
Clock running down. He goes. Oh!
Oh!
What a hit!
Whoa! Whoa! What a move! That looked like the guy that we saw running on that fast break in the first quarter. What an explosion off the dribble.
Yeah, it was very electrifying. I mean, obviously, it doesn't seem like any teams right now that made a difference, I know, but that was a great series. The Sixers, I know they got past the number one Bulls, being an 8th seed. Obviously, the Bulls that rose, but still, for an 8th seed to go that far, and actually almost beating the Celtics in their 7-game series, taking Game 7, showing a lot of a lot of heart. That was one of the big plays by the Sixers, and obviously their best player, Iguodala. Here is play number two. You might remember this guy.
Intercepted, picked off by Durant.
Difference of 10 seconds, the game clock and shot clock.
Kobe Bryant never should have gave that ball up to Paul Gasol, even though he was wide open.
This is for the lead. Kevin Durant, the NBA's leading scorer, with a feathery three-point jumper that puts the Thunder on top with 30.
Yeah, just a crazy play. The Thunder just honestly dominated the West. That's what was so special about the Heat, beating the Thunder. I mean, you look at the Thunder the whole time, and how do you beat them, man? But obviously that was a big shot by Durant. I don't care how old he is, man. I know you want to say, all right, him and Westbrook were 23. Forget about it, man. They play awesome. Durant plays like he's, you know, 30 as far as his mindset is concerned. Just what a dagger that was. Now, obviously, these two teams are going to be very thick this year with what we've seen so far with Steve Nash joining the Lakers. So I still believe in the Thunder. If I had to choose at this moment, I think the Thunder would still overcome them. You know, obviously, Kobe getting a little older. I believe in Durant, man. Honestly, Westbrook, what they got going on. They got the better of them this year. We'll see next year. It should be a lot funner. Without further ado, here is your number one play. This is LeBron James in the finals. What a clutch shot by LeBron.
James drives on Durant, falls down. Fisher picks it up. James slow to get up. The 5-on-3, Fisher to the basket. Oh, what a block from Wade. James down the other end now. Pulls up and banks it in. What a turnaround. Oklahoma City had numbers as James is now limping up the floor. James doesn't look overly concerned. He went down, stayed down for a bit. A block shot from Wade, and he got up to catch the pass.
And these are the plays that turn games. Good defense by Oklahoma City. Numbers in transition going the other way. Block shot, and then James gets a basket to put him up two.
And he is hurting right now. James with five to shoot. Tries a three. Bang! LeBron James from downtown. And how about James? Comes back on the floor. He's obviously still limping and nails the three-pointer.
And we saw a similar shot against Boston in the crucial Game 7. Terrific extension and follow-through.
Yeah, just a great play by LeBron James. He was limping. He actually didn't, after that shot, he didn't make, I think he was out of the game for the next like 3 or 4 minutes, so he couldn't finish that game. And just to show that he had got those cramps about a minute before that and came back in and hit that three. It shows you what kind of mindset he was in. But just moving on really quick, before we get into baseball, I figured that I'd be getting some more news about the NBA. Looks like the Minnesota T-Wolves will sign Brandon Roy, a guy that was forced into retirement with knee issues. Still, I mean, a guy that was one of the best, and he actually had a great career going on, just didn't have the knees. But it looks like he will be coming back to the NBA, joining the Minnesota Timberwolves. Looks like a 2-year, $10 million deal. So good for him. The T-Wolves, like I said, leaving Beasley left, going to the Suns. But the T-Wolves still, honestly, have one of the best players in the league with Kevin Love. J.J. Barea, they have a decent team going on down there. And to see if Brandon Roy can come back and play well, that team might win some games. So good for him. Just a couple lesser players. Dragic joining the Suns, four-year contract. And the Clippers going to keep they got Jamal Crawford, and they're going to keep Chauncey Billups. So I don't know if that had to factor in with Ray Allen not joining them or not, but those are the two that they get. And looks like the Bulls reaching out to Derek Fisher and obviously Brandon Roy, but Brandon Roy not. He just verbally agreed with the T-Wolves. Maybe the Bulls get Fisher. So we'll see if somebody, you know, even those players mean a lot. So we'll see. Next show, a lot of these players will probably sign, and I'll have more news to come next week.
That's not what I asked, Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
LeBron will send it in for the Heat.
And just my last segment of the show. Let's not forget about baseball too much. A lot going on. Obviously, the All-Star game coming up next week. And let's get over the rosters. The rosters have been set for about a week. The final vote was also a big deal. Let's get into the rosters really quick. Now, the final vote winners, I don't know if they're in these rosters yet, but the final vote winners were David Fries for the National League and Yu Darvish, the sensation for the Texas Rangers this year. David Fries, obviously the huge hero for the Cardinals last year in the World Series and throughout the playoffs, winning the NLCS MVP and the World Series MVP. What his clutch home runs. But here are all your rosters. For the American League, your catcher, Mike Napoli from Texas. It's his first All-Star selection. First base, Prince Fielder from Detroit, his fourth trip. Second base, Robinson Cano for the Yankees, his third time. For third base, Adrian Beltre from Texas, his third time. Shortstop, Derek Jeter for the Yankees, his 13th selection. Your outfielder is Josh Hamilton, no question about this pick, from Texas, his fifth All-Star selection. Curtis Granderson, outfielder from the Yankees, his third All-Star selection. Outfielder Jose Bautista from Toronto, his third time. And your DH, David Ortiz from Boston. This is his eighth trip to the All-Star game. Here are your pitchers. Ryan Cook from Oakland, Matt Harrison from Texas, Felix Hernandez from Seattle, Jim Johnson from Baltimore, Joe Nathan from Texas, Chris Perez from Cleveland, David Price and Fernando Rodney from Tampa, CeCe Sabathia from the Yankees, Chris Sale from Chicago White Sox, Jared Weaver and CJ Wilson from the Angels, and Justin Verlander from Detroit. Your reserves for the hitters, Elvis Andrus from Texas, Billy Butler from Kansas City, Asdrubal Cabrera from Cleveland, Miguel Cabrera from Detroit, Adam Dunn from the White Sox, Adam Jones from Baltimore, Ian Kinsler from Texas, Paul Konerko from Chicago, Joe Mauer from Minnesota, Mike Trout and Mark Trumbo for the Angels, and Matt Wieters for Baltimore. So that's your AL selection for the All-Star game. Like I said earlier, the All-Star game actually means something. In football, it's the Pro Bowl, and it's actually I don't even know anymore. I think it's before or after the Super Bowl. It used to be after. I think they're playing it now, like what, a week before. I don't know. It's been so long since we've talked about football, but either way, it doesn't mean anything. Basketball is fun. They have a lot of cool things, dunk contest, three-point shootout. But the outcome doesn't matter. But in baseball, AL versus NL, the winner gets the home field, so in the World Series, which is kind of weird. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. You're leaving it up to other people to tell you who's going to be. I mean, you could have a great super year and have all these wins, and if your team didn't win the All-Star game, you're going to have 3 out of 7 games at home come World Series time. But it's cool. I like the fact that the All-Star game is going to be spiced up. I like the fact that it means something. You see all these great players actually fighting for something. It's 10 times better to watch than the Pro Bowl, and nobody cares. So it's still fun. I like it. It's cool. The baseball has always these little things that they do, which is weird, but at the same time, I think it's good for the sport, so. Now, moving on to my NL roster. Here are your starters. Catcher Buster Posey from San Francisco, his first time to the All-Star game. First baseman Joey Votto from Cincinnati, his third trip. Second baseman Dan Uggla for the Braves, his third trip. Third baseman Pablo Sandoval, which is actually a crazy pick after being injured for about 6-7 weeks. A late surge for him from the Giants, his third trip to the All-Star game. He will be starting at third base. Shortstop Rafael Furcal for St. Louis, his third trip. Your outfielders are Matt Kemp from the Dodgers, his second All-Star selection. Outfielder Carlos Beltran, his seventh selection from St. Louis, having a breakout year. And Melky Cabrera from San Francisco, his first trip. That's interesting. I didn't know Melky Cabrera was starting for the All-Star game, but good for him. He's obviously having a big year. Your pitchers, Matt Cain from the Giants, Aroldis Chapman from Cincinnati, R.A. Dickey, the sensation this year, guy, the knuckleballer from the Mets, no question, he should be going. Gio Gonzalez from Washington, Cole Hamels from Philadelphia, Joel Hanrahan from Pittsburgh, Clayton Kershaw from the Dodgers, Cy Young winner last year, Craig Kimbrell from Atlanta, rookie of the year last year, I believe, closer for the Braves, Lance Lynn from St. Louis, Wade Miley from Arizona, Jonathan Pavlovon for the Phillies. Steven Strasburg, obviously he's, you know, the young sensation from Washington. And Houston Street from San Diego. And here are your reserves. Jose Altuve, obviously he's having a huge year for Houston. His first All-Star selection. Ryan Braun, no question, with 23 homers, I believe, leading the NL in home runs. Milwaukee, his fifth time. Jay Bruce from Cincinnati, his second All-Star selection. Starlin Castro from the Cubs, his second trip. Ian Desmond from Washington, his first trip. Carlos Gonzalez from Colorado, his first trip. Ryan LaHair from the Cubs, his first trip. Andrew McCutchen leading the league in batting average. I believe all of major leagues in batting average. He is going from Pittsburgh, a second selection. Yadier Molina, catcher from the St. Louis Cardinals, his fourth trip. Carlos Ruiz from Philadelphia, he's up there in batting average as well from Philadelphia, his first selection. And, of course, your boy Giancarlo Stanton from the Miami Marlins, his first trip to the All-Star game. Well-deserved. What a great year by Stanton. And last but not least, David Wright, third baseman from the Mets, his sixth trip. I think he should have probably got the nod at third base versus Kung Fu Panda, Pablo Sandoval, but just see Dave Ricketts in the starting time. Hopefully Giancarlo gets a few at-bats. That'd be great. But either way, I'm obviously excited about Giancarlo for another reason. Let's get into my home run derby contestants. That's right. And they are from the National League, Matt Kemp from the Dodgers, Giancarlo Stanton from the Miami Marlins, Carlos Beltran from the Cardinals, and Carlos Gonzalez for the Rockies. Your AL is Robinson Cano from the Yankees, Jose Bautista from the Blue Jays, Mark Trumbull from the Angels, and Prince Fielder from the Tigers. I love this group of guys. It is similar to the dunk contest, to where you don't get the guy that you want because they don't want to do it. Now, arguably so, a lot of players have had a bad second half of the season because they went to the home run derby. I don't know. I mean, I understand it's easier pitches and maybe it throws you off, but it's only for a couple hours. I don't know why they really mess you up for weeks, but sometimes they don't do it. But there's no lack of talent here. This is going to be crazy, crazy, crazy fun. Some of these guys are hitting home runs over 450 feet on the regular, and those are off, you know, major league pitchers. This is going to be fun off of, you know, whoever they want to throw 10-mile-an-hour balls to. So I'm excited. And I found some stats thanks to hardballtimes.com. Looking at your longest home runs by player for the year, Matt Kemp, 454 feet, Giancarlo, 462 feet, which I actually got to witness at the game, breaking the left field TV, Carlos Beltran, 464, Carlos Gonzalez, 445, Robinson Cano, 440, Jose Bautista, 455, Mark Trumbo, 459, and Prince Fielder, 456. So, obviously, a lot of raw power there. And just your average home runs, Matt Kemp averaging 400.2 feet per home run. Giancarlo Stanton, 406.4 feet. Beltran, 408.9. Carlos Gonzalez, 412.4 feet. Robinson Cano, 406.8. Bautista, 403.3. Mark Trumbo, 420.1 feet per home run this year, and Prince Fielder, 413 feet per home run. These guys actually acquired some great stats here. And just a couple off the top three, looking like Mark Trumbo averaging 107.2 miles per hour on average speed off the home runs. Prince Fielder, 107.1. Also, Giancarlo Stanton, 107.1. Just give you an idea of the 462-foot home run that Giancarlo Stanton hit, I believe 123 miles an hour. So it kind of puts it in perspective how fast that home run was. But I'm just excited. I can't wait. It's Monday night, home run derby. And I'm about 99% sure that the All-Star game will follow on Tuesday night. That should be fun. I don't know who the starters will be just yet. Let me actually make my prediction for you. They didn't say... Let me look. All right. The Zen Man is about to put a sweet prediction to this. Looking at your pitchers. Man, let me see. For the AL, I think they actually might have put the... they have a hashtag next to CC. I'm not sure if he's... Oh, okay, yeah. Looks like CC will not play. So, definitely Justin Verlander, I think, will get the start for the AL, regardless of CC being hurt or not. Looking at Justin there at the bottom. And for the NL, it should be R.A. Dickey. So, I think R.A. Dickey and Justin Verlander will be the starters. We'll see if I'm right. You know, Zimman's always right. Nah, we'll see. We'll see. Give me props on Tuesday if that happens. And, well, just to finish off the baseball, let's not forget about the regular season. And here are your updated standings. And I honestly, I look at it every Thursday night like you guys do, so I don't know what's going on here. Let's obviously start off with the AL East. Yankees currently have a 5-game lead. They have a 49-32 record. They have 5-game lead on the Orioles. Tampa 7 games back. Boston 7.5 games back. And Toronto with 8 games back. Even Toronto at the bottom of that division, still 42-41. The whole division is above 500, so impressive stuff for them. I look at the AL Central, the White Sox at 45-37. They have a 2-game lead on the Cleveland Indians. Detroit Tigers 4.5 back. Kansas City 7.5 back. And Minnesota 10 games back. Minnesota, I know it sounds stupid, but they're making a run for it. I mean, 35-47 isn't that bad for a team that they should be really, really bad, but they're hanging in there. They're not going to do anything, but I think it's noteworthy. The AL West, Texas with a 50-33 record that is tops in baseball. They have a 4.5 game lead on the Angels, 9-game lead on the Athletics, and a 15.5 game lead on the Seattle Mariners. So might as well stick a fork in the Mariners. Like I said that like a month ago, but either way. Looking at the National League so far, yes, the Nationals still beasting out the National League East, and I mean beasting. It's 48-32, 4.5 game lead on the Mets, 6-game lead on the Atlanta Braves, 9-game lead on the Miami Marlins, and yes, your Philadelphia Phillies are 13 games back. Now, the Miami Marlins and the Philadelphia Phillies were close, I guess you should say. They were back and forth right there at the sort of the worst record in the NL East, but thanks to a nice swift sweep last week by the Marlins on the Phillies, we have a little edge, but I'm not worried about the last place. Worried about first place. We're 9 games back. I'll take a look at the wild card just to give you guys an idea of where we really are. In just a minute, in the NL Central, Pittsburgh 46-36. They have a 1.5-game lead on Cincinnati, a 2.5-game lead on St. Louis, 8-game lead on Milwaukee, 14.5-game lead on the Houston Astros, and 15-game lead on the Cubs. Maybe I'll go a whole episode about bashing on the Cubs. And the NL West, the Dodgers 46-37, only a game up on the Giants. Arizona 6 games back, San Diego 13 games back, and Colorado 14.5 games back. So those are your standings. Let me see. They should have the wild cards up here. Like I said, two teams are in the wild card this year. So per league, LA and Baltimore, the Angels and the Baltimore Orioles currently have the top two records in the American League wild card. Cleveland 1.5 back. And Tampa 2 games back. Boston 2.5. Toronto 3. Oakland, Detroit 4. Kansas City 7. And Minnesota 9.5. All right, and Seattle 10.5 back. I'll leave them hanging. On the NL, Cincinnati and San Francisco and the Mets all are tied for that top spot. Only two can get in. St. Louis 1 game back. Atlanta 1.5. Miami only 4.5 games back. No need to worry. Arizona 5. Milwaukee 6.5. Philadelphia 8.5. San Diego 12. Houston 13. And the Cubs and the Rockies are battling it out there in the bottom of the NL at 13.5 back. So those are your updated standings for baseball. But let's get into the upcoming schedule for the weekend for you guys. Starting Friday, which is tomorrow, you have Tampa Bay at Cleveland, Kansas City at Detroit, Colorado at Washington, Atlanta at Philadelphia, San Francisco at Pittsburgh. You have another big series, Yankees at Red Sox. The Cubs are at the Mets, Minnesota at Texas, Milwaukee at Houston, Toronto at Chicago White Sox, Miami at St. Louis, the Dodgers at the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm sorry. I almost say Cardinals. I did. Because of St. Louis. Look, St. Louis was right before there. They had the St. Louis Cardinals. And I saw Arizona. I'm thinking football. Don't get mad at me. Dodgers at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Baltimore at LA Angels. See, I get mixed up because now I have L.A. Dodgers, L.A. Angels. I'm saying Baltimore. I got to say Angels because I'm saying Los Angeles. You guys are getting confused. I know. J-Man's kind of going all over the place right now. Last two. I'll get through it. Seattle at Oakland and then Cincinnati at San Diego. Those are your upcoming series through the weekend. And the last but not least thing I want to get to in baseball is your updated stat leaders. You know, I like MLB.com, ESPN.com, actually, with the stat leaders. They actually already got it organized for me. Ah, nice. They do have it all organized. Nice. Just checking out the American League leaders for batting average. Mike Trout, 343 for the Angels. Paul Konerko, 332, tied with Austin Jackson for Detroit. Joe Mauer, 330 for the Twins. And Miguel Cabrera, 325 for the Tigers. Your NL leaders, Andrew McCutchen, 356. Melky Cabrera, 356. Carlos Ruiz, 355. Those are some great averages. David Wright, 354. And Joey Votto, 348. A lot of big names there. That's a high batting average. AL home runs, Jose Bautista, 27. Josh Hamilton, 26. Adam Dunn, 25. Curtis Granderson, 23. And Edwin Encarnacion, 22. In the NL, Ryan Braun, 23. Carlos Beltran, 20. Giancarlo Stanton, 19. Carlos Gonzalez, 17. And Jay Bruce with 17. RBIs for the AL, Josh Hamilton, 74. Miguel Cabrera, 70. Jose Bautista, 64. Adam Dunn, 60. Josh Willingham with 59. For the NL, Carlos Beltran with 65 runs batted in. David Wright, 59. Tied with Ryan Braun. Also, and Jason Kubel, 58, and Carlos Gonzalez with 58 as well. Just some quick pitcher stats. In the AL, Matt Harrison, 11 wins, tied with David Price with Tampa. Chris Sale, 10. Yu Darvish, 10. Justin Verlander with 9. NL wins for National League, R.A. Dickey with 12. Lance Lynn and Gio Gonzalez with 11. Cole Hamels and Madison Bumgarner with 10. Looking at your earned run average leaders, Jared Weaver with a 2.13 ERA leads the American League. Chris Sale, 2.19. C.J. Wilson, 2.33. Justin Verlander, 2.58. And David Price, 2.82. In the NL, Brandon Beachy still with leading. He's going to be out for the season, but he still leads the NL in ERA with 2 ERA. Ryan Dempster for the Cubs, 2.11. Vogelsong for the Giants, 2.26. Johnny Cueto, 2.35. And R.A. Dickey for the Mets, 2.40. And just a quick saves leader. I'm not going to go league by league. Jim Johnson for the Orioles leads the major leagues with 25 saves. Next is Chris Perez from Cleveland with 24. Craig Kimbrell, Fernando Rodney for Tampa with 24 as well. Craig Kimbrell for the Braves with 23. Joel Hanrahan with 22. Santiago Castillo has 21. And Jonathan Broxton with 21. So those are your saves leaders for baseball. And those are your stat leaders. And the show will be over in about. Last thing I just wanted to quickly say about the NBA. I did say about a week ago I didn't want Ray Allen. I'm not panicking and saying I need him, but, you know, he would be, I mean, set aside, he'd be a great addition for the Heat. We might need him, I mean, at this point. Look at the Nets. I mean, it's far from over. They don't even have Dwight Howard right now. So, I mean, I'm not worried about anybody. We're champions. I'm celebrating still. I'm happy. But, honestly, I've lightened up a little bit. If we do get Ray Allen, I think that'll be a great fit for us. Believe me, the guys that we've had, we have three-point shooters, but they're not the most consistent bunch of guys. They really aren't. I mean, I love them to death, but they really can have some off games. But Ray Allen doesn't do that. He hit. That's why he has the most three-point baskets in the NBA history. So I think he'd be a great fit for the Heat. He'll get wide open plenty of times. As much as he hits his threes, you can't leave LeBron James open. You can't leave Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, anybody else. So I think it'll be a great fit. And if we get him, I'll feel even more solid about our team. And that is your final thought for Sumo Sports Rep. Thanks for joining me tonight. Next week I'll be live again at 11 o'clock with another edition of the Sumo Sports Rep. On Ship to Shore Radio and blogtalkradio.com. Make sure to join these guys Tuesday night. We should be having their sports talk around 10 o'clock. And so join in over Tuesday night. With that, I'm going to say thank you for joining me. Good luck to your teams out there with your big players. Hope you don't lose them, but honestly, you probably will. With that, I'm going to say thank you for listening, and good night, guys.
D'Antoni won't call timeout and let the Raptors set up their D. The crowd on its feet here at the Air Canada Center. Lynn puts it up. Bang! Jeremy Lynn from downtown! And the Knicks take the lead!
You're listening to Shift the Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Green for the bomb. Lob City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around. Tears from their eyes. Knees on the ground. Money in the sky. Take a look around. Ain't shit nice. Praying for my life. Hope I make it through the night. I take a look around.
And he drives it to center field. That's all deep. Back to Schaefer. At the wall.
Take a look around.
Gone! My goodness! An absolute bomb!
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling at a bender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.